My family, praise God. Good to see you out here, amen, in the house of the Lord today. Glory to God. We were just a few weeks ago up at a ministers' conference in Louisiana, and pastors and leaders, and this is a season, praise God, for growth in the things of God, both personally and church-wise. How many of you know people only go to church, a lot of people, on Easter Sunday? And if you notice the, what Pastor Mike talked about, our special program that we're going to have on, I don't want to call it a program, but just it's an event of heaven, praise God. Let's put it that way. Hallelujah, that invite people out to the Easter service. Palm Sunday, we are going to have communion, by the way. Those of you that have missed it, weeks go by. You know, we used to religiously. I don't like to do anything religiously. Amen? But have it on, one Sunday every month. Yeah, but Palm Sunday, we're going to have communion. And then Good Friday, we're going to have a Good Friday. Instead of a Good Friday service, we're going to have a Good Friday prayer service. All right? And worship. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'll be there. And what we want to do is pray for harvest on Easter Sunday. Can you do that with me? Bring out your family that's unsaved, because it's so important. They'll hear a message of salvation. Amen. It'll be directed toward them. Amen. Those who don't know Christ. So it's an opportunity to bring somebody out to hear the gospel. Amen. Because the harvest is ready. Jesus said that. I like what we talked about last week. Let me get back over there really quick. We talked about having passion for the lost. How many of you know that the church needs to have passion for the lost? I've been studying history of the charismatic church. That's those who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic church, so on and so forth. From AD 100, AD 200, after the death of Jesus Christ, the early church. And, one of the things that in the early 1900s, and we know Azusa Street, and there was a great mighty move of God over in Britain, in that Wales and those areas over there. But the emphasis was on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a lot of hungry people that wanted to be touched and endued with power from on high, like Acts chapter 2, verse 4. But one thing that they recognized, there wasn't an evangelistic thrust in that movement. So the leaders of that Pentecostal movement at that time got together and they put together a Bible college specifically to train missionaries and evangelists to go out. Amen? See, that's part of the calling. That's why we have the Pentecostal experience. We are endued with power from on high so that we can be witnesses. So it's an opportunity to press in, folks, amen, as a church, a local church here, and believe God for the greatest harvest of souls that we've ever seen. Amen? Can you say amen or oh me or something like that? Praise God. Jesus said this in Matthew 9. He said in verse 37, he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." And we are the workers. We can at least invite somebody. Oh, Pastor, don't get on me. We just, that's why we're here. Amen. Every one of you that's been delivered from drugs and been set free from the lifestyle that you were living, whatever, there's no perfect person here. Hallelujah. Amen. But we've been saved by the blood of Jesus, and we have a story to tell, but we've got to tell it. You know, the Romans chapter 10 says, how will they hear unless they have a preacher? Well, I'm letting you know that y'all preachers out there. Come on. Hallelujah. There's Preacher Neil and Preacher Lynn and Preacher Maria on the front row. Hallelujah. Preachers. Hallelujah. Turn to the person and say, you're a preacher. You're a proclaimer of the gospel, the good news. Amen. You don't have to be a pastor or a teacher or evangelist or prophet to do it. I mean, the whole body of Christ has got to mobilize in these last days. You know, in John chapter 4, to go back to what I talked about last week, he said, don't, in other words, he's saying, you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest. And not all the harvest is, like, I'm telling you, the harvest is now. Jesus said to his disciples, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're out there. Amen? And I know some of you are evangelists, that you're constantly telling us how many people you won to the Lord, and it's so exciting. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get excited about that as a church. Praise God. Hallelujah. I also want to remind you that Growth Track Week 1 begins next week. It's going to, think about that, April already. Are you ready for spring? Glory to, yeah, we are. Hallelujah. But Growth Track, Class 1, and that class takes place at 10:45, right? 10:45. Every week, and it's consecutive, 1, 2, 3, 4, and the first one starts next week. And if you feel like God has told you that this was your home church, we want you to be involved, we want you to serve, we want you to have a purpose in your life, whether, you know, it's ushering, it's the experience team. How many of you like to get greeted when you come into church? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We'll need a lot of people on board for Easter Sunday. Come on now. And then, you know, the children's ministry, the nursery, we're so excited about what God's doing. And as I said, we were at the minister's conference, and they were sharing that, you know, even some of the largest churches, mega churches, still don't have people coming back from COVID. You know, they've gotten used to not coming to church, and I'm glad that you're all here, that you got up and you got dressed and you got your family here, because you need one another. We need the body. Hallelujah. It's not, I mean, it's great for those that can't attend church to have it online, and we're working on that, folks who are watching this online right now. We have some bugs to get out of it. We apologize for some issues today. We've all had issues today. You missed a fun service if you, the first service. None of my notes worked. My mics didn't work. Nothing worked. I barely worked. Hallelujah. But we got it across. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God for technology, but when it's working. Hallelujah. But Growth Track, one first class next week, get involved. Be a part. Serve the Lord. You know, Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. Amen? We need to encourage one another. Some of you are great encouragers. Just, you know, just that smile on your face, greeting people. Hallelujah. Turn to the person next to you and smile real big. Amen. You're practicing. Glory to God. Well, I want to talk to you about contending or fighting for what God has spoken into your heart and into your life. The church, just like evangelism in another way, has become, I would say, lethargic in pressing in to obtain. See, there has to be a pressing in to obtain the promises of God. That's why we have the great chapter of 11 in the book of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith. We have a list of men and women who pressed in, and they obtained by their faith, by believing, by receiving, by contending for their faith. And in Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul said, "Dearly loved friend, I was fully intending to write to you about our amazing salvation we all participate in, but felt the need instead to challenge you to vigorously defend and contend for the beliefs that we cherish." Amen. So the Apostle Paul wrote this to Jude, said, "No, listen, there are other things that we could be doing. I long to be with you and so on and so forth, but I want to encourage you. I want to stir something up in you How many of you know we need to be stirred up? I've got to be stirred up. I was praying last night. You know, we want the fire. We want the baptism of fire. And I was praying, God, touch me. Touch me first. Hallelujah. One person said, all you got to do is, you know, light the fire and others will come and see you burn. Amen. Some of us need to light that fire. Praise God again. And that's kind of what I'm talking about, because in seasons of life, things change and we get bogged down a lot. I know that we started the church 40 years ago. This will be a 40th year anniversary in November. Can you believe it? But we started, you know, we came back here just newly married. We had a heart for God. We had a heart for to see people. In fact, let's look at our vision that we had when we first came back here. And it's still our vision today. We've simplified it. But our vision when we come back here, and we said it in every service, we are a supernatural church where the love of Jesus abounds richly in the hearts of the people. We are a friendly family church. We are a healing and deliverance center that teaches a practical application of the Word of God. Living Word has a vision to reach the world. Isn't that that's our vision? Reaching the world, making disciples, building strong families. We've condensed it to that. But healing and deliverance center that teaches a practical application of the Word of God. Living Word has a vision to reach the world. Say, reach the world with the good news. What is the good news? You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be poverty stricken. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus went to the cross to die for us, praise God, so that we could live an abundant life, not only forever in heaven when we go there, but here on the earth. But Pastor, you don't understand, you know, there are things the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No, we don't teach that around here. We teach that God is a good God. That Jesus made it plain and simple in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes, say the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I have come. Why? Come on, somebody. This is a test, a quiz. Okay. He said, I am come that you might have life and live it to the full, one translation says. Abundant living, abundant life. He wants us to live that out. But we are contested all the time by the enemy. Like when we came back here, that was our vision. That was our goal. We were on fire. God miraculously got us into a little building in Abington on Thicket Street. How many even know where that is? A little white church on Thicket Street in Abington. All right. Old Randolph Street and Thicket Street, right there in the corner. Little white church on the edge of town. No, whatever. Hallelujah. God, you know, we had a congregation of a handful of people. Nobody was working. No jobs. Hardly any. I mean, but God supernaturally got us into that building. And that was our beginning. We had rented Knights of Columbus and so on and so forth. We had fun, you know, getting planted. But that happened within maybe a year after we first came back here. It was exciting. But we came back here with thrust. We came back here, man, we're gonna come back and take New England for Jesus, praise God. We're going to, you know, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils, and oh, hallelujah. Come on, you know how you were when you first got saved? Amen? You preached to your dogs. Everything that moved, anything, even if it didn't move, you'd preach to it because of that passion on the inside of you. And we had that. And healing, divine healing was on our hearts and just seeing the sick healed. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. All the time. He has not changed his mind. You know, signs, wonders, and miracles did not die out when the Apostle John died on the Isle of Patmos. He's still alive right now. Praise God. Ready to heal. Ready to touch. But you know what happened to us the first few years that we were back here? Our son was born, you know, a perfect child, no problem. Well, he was as perfect as you could get, you know, for a boy. Just kidding. We love him. He's out in beautiful California, Southern California. Amen. We miss him. Trying to get back there to see him. Hallelujah. But anyway, and then our daughter came along. And remember that I had a heart to see people healed and set free by the power of God. And so our daughter was born, and she had complications. She had cerebral palsy, and the doctors didn't expect her to live. She had a blood transfusion, so on and so forth. It was just really believing God. I mean, just to keep her alive. And she's a blessing now. She's not totally healed, but we're believing for her healing. Amen. And there's others, you know, that's in the church that we want to see totally healed and set free. But see, it was an attack on the ministry. It was an attack on the church because here we're preaching a strong divine healing that, you know, that God wants his people healed, and then the pastors get attacked. Think about that. It kind of set us back. It kind of it numbed us to the point where over the years, we settled for less than what God's perfect will was. We weren't as passionate as we needed to be. As far we still believe God's word. We still, you know, by his stripes we are healed, and so on and so forth. And we preached healing, and we preached faith, and we still do. But there's something about contending. Something about fighting. Say fighting. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to fight against the forces of darkness, because the enemy will come and try to disrupt you, try to get you off of your purpose and your plan, because, you know, things might be getting worse in the natural, what you're believing God for. But see, God has not changed his mind. God's word is forever settled in heaven. If God spoke it in his word, he said, I sent my word and healed. Jesus is still the healer today. Jesus is still the provider today. Amen? Hallelujah. He hasn't lost any power. Praise God. And so the vision, what I'm saying to you, that we as pastors, we've got to stir ourselves up regardless of what happened all of those years ago, and get back to what God said in his word, and we've been doing that. Amen? The prophecies that were given to us by Mark Hankins end of last year, powerful. I was reading over them last year, and prophecies that, in fact, Paul told young Timothy to take the prophecies that have been spoken over you, the words that have been spoken over you, and fight a good fight. Contend for those things. But pastor, it hasn't happened. Well, contend. You don't quit. Never quit. Amen. Never, never, never give up on what God has promised you in your heart. This is, we declare this to be Ephesians 3:20 year. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And this is, you know, March going into April, and maybe nothing has happened, but hasn't surprised the Lord. He's still the God of today. Glory to God. He's still the God of your faith. He's still a God of your promises. Amen. And what he said, he will do it. There will be a performance of those things if you will just hang in there. Amen. And contend. Fight the good fight of faith. I will not quit. I will not quit. I was listening to a testimony of a lady preacher, and how in her early days of ministry, it just came to my mind, and this was early this morning, I was listening to it, and she was preaching on divine healing, doing a series on divine healing, and preaching faith, you know, in her church, just, you know, really, and she got diagnosed with breast cancer, and she went before God, and she suffered, just, you know, and we all, and when we get diagnoses of things, we say, God, in our first tendency, say, God, why? Why has this happened to me? Why? And she went through the same thing. But through encouragement of the Word of God, say encouragement of the Word, she had that bulldog faith because of the Word that was planted on the inside of her. Amen. She was moved with emotions, but in her heart she knew the Word of God. See, your mind can tell you one thing, but if the Word has been planted on the inside of you, guess what? You're going to be unshakable. That unshakable thing, the Word planted on the inside of you. So a lot of times we just have the Word in our heads, but when they get down deposited in our hearts, oh, it becomes an anchor, an anchor. This woman was in the shower one day, and this was months later, and there was blood coming out of her breast and so on and so forth. And she said, I'm going to believe you, God. I'm just going to, you know, she started worshiping God. I said, I don't care if my breast falls off. I'm still going to proclaim you as my healer. And she heard an audible voice from God and said, because you have been forceful, because you have come against the plan of the enemy, you are now healed. And she was totally healed of that breast cancer. Amen, by the power of God, instantly. Hallelujah. Sometimes things don't happen overnight. Something is a process, but if you'll just hold on to your faith. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Passion Translation says this, I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I build my church. The truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, the truth is the Word of God. The Word is truth. Jesus is called the Word from the foundations of the earth. Jesus is the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word has not changed. And he said, I am what the truth of who I am. Who is Jesus? He's your Savior. He's your healer. He's your provider. Amen. Everything that Jesus did on the cross, the shed blood, the stripes on his back, the crown of thorns that I'm sure we'll be talking about during Passion Week. All of these things was not for his benefit, but was for my benefit, for your benefit. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, this revelation of who I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. I am the God that supplies all of your needs. He's the God that heals your marriage. He's the God that saves your children. Amen. Oh, praise God. It says it will be the bedrock foundation. Pastor Mike talked about foundations, the important foundations, and put some things up on the screen several Sunday nights ago. But see, the bedrock is solid. It's not sandy. How many of you remember the parable that Jesus talked about, those who build the house upon the sand? See, those who build the house upon the sand is paying attention to their senses, what they can see, what they can touch, what they can feel. You know, and sand can move. Sand can be washed away. And Jesus said that those who don't take my word seriously, that don't build their lives on a sure foundation of my word, are building upon a sand foundation. So when the rain comes and the wind blows, come on, talking about trials and tribulation, all of these things contesting us, the enemy trying to get us off of our faith, trying to get us off on our assignment and our purpose in life, it says, that house will be blown away, that house will fall, and great will be the fall of it. But then he said, those who build upon the rock, the foundation, which is a revelation of who Christ is, amen, and what he has done, and the finished work of Jesus, when the trials come, when the hurricanes come, when the tornadoes blow through, that house will stand firm, praise God, because it is a sure foundation. And so Jesus said, this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I build my church. And he's not talking about, he's talking about the church, you and me. The body, the legislative assembly. Think about that. We are commissioned to rule and to reign. To make laws. What's a legislative assembly do? Amen. See, in your households, you don't have to let the enemy come in and plunder your stuff. You can take authority. Oh, well, I don't know about that. You know, all of us, you know, we take trips, we leave home, and we hope there's no break-in and people steal and so on. How many of you know that you can plead the blood of Jesus around your house? And it's better than any security system. I'm not saying you can't have a security system. I mean, that's okay. But what I'm saying is that we can have an angelic protection. Amen. When we leave and go on a trip, we claim Psalms 91. We claim the word of God that no accident, no plague, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We declare it. We decree it. We agree with the word of God, the foundational principle of the word, the shed blood of Jesus. Amen? And that's what it's all about when Jesus say, pray after this manner, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. How many of us are doing that in our home? Thy kingdom come in my house. Thy kingdom come on my job. Thy kingdom come. What does that mean? It's saying that God's, you're inviting all the angelic host. How do you know that? Because the Bible says the angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. Who told us to pray that prayer? Jesus. Thy kingdom come. Do you imagine what you're saying when you're calling the kingdom of God to manifest in your home, in your workplace, in your business? But we're just all scatterbrained, kind of, you know, we just flow with whatever's going on. What will be one day at a time, sweet Jesus. There's a song that I was, you know, I grew up with quartet singing. How many of you like old time quartet singing? I mean, I don't know why that is. I just took my daughter to Dollywood. How many of you know where that is? On the way back from the minister's conference. And only one thing she really wanted to do. I mean, we spent all this money to get in Dollywood. And what did she want to do? See the Kingdom Heirs quartet. Amen. Which was awesome. It was cool, you know? Quartet singing, hallelujah. But they sing this song, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't sing the rest of it. I don't know. Didn't the Bible say he'll show us things to come? Amen. Hallelujah. We should know about tomorrow by the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of us. And that's the way the generation that I grew up in was trained. Well, bless God, I don't know about tomorrow, whatever tomorrow, you know, and so on and so forth. No, I live by faith and not by sight. I decree what my tomorrow is going to be like. Jeremiah 29 says, my thoughts toward you are good and not evil. They're not evil. God's thoughts are not evil. I'm going to get Pastor Laurie. I'm going to get this one. No, he's not up there trying to figure out all the evil he can do. He says, my thoughts are good toward you. To do good. And to give you an expected end. Amen? But it goes on to say, you got to seek me. What does seek me mean? If you read the verses after that. If you seek me, I will be found. All right? What does that mean? You have to seek God? No, you don't have to seek him. He's not lost. Hey, God hasn't moved addresses. He has the same address, same zip code. Hallelujah. But we move. We get busy. We get distracted. All right? And so our clarity isn't there. But Jesus said, if you will contend for the faith, if you will contend and fight, not willing to back off, not willing to give up, but willing to press toward the trophy, press forward the mark of high calling. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what God says in his word. Fight the good fight of faith. You know, in the Old Testament, they use this phrase, don't turn to the rest, to the right hand or to the left. Set your face like flint. That means if somebody, you're on your course, believing God for healing, believing God for your family, believing God for things, and setting yourself like flint. That means somebody taps you on the shoulder, tries to get your attention. You don't pay attention to them. You're just walking toward the victory. You just got that victory inside. There can be an explosion on this side. 10,000 can fall on that side. Whatever happens, you know, this one can get elected president on this side, or gas prices and go $10 a gallon on this side, and you're just still, bless God. God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God is the Lord that heals me. Hallelujah. I've got the victory. Praise God. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you just keep walking. You don't get distracted by Facebook. You don't get distracted by what somebody said about you. You don't get distracted because you're not set off by offense. Well, so-and-so offended me. I'm not going to go to that church anymore. Listen, if you're a person that's moved by offense, you'll never get a prayer answered. You got to get over it. You know, like the Apostle Paul said, nothing moves me. Nothing moves me. Nothing moves me off the foundation of who Jesus is. Jesus said, I will build my church on that. I will build your family on that. I will build your marriage on who I am. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. Who I am. Praise God. One more scripture. Matthew chapter 18, the Amplified Bible says this. Amen. And this is true. This is the words of Jesus. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. How many of you know there's no sickness in heaven? There's no poverty in heaven? There's no trouble in heaven? And it's saying, whatsoever we bind on earth, the King James says, will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Remember, Jesus used the word legislative assembly. We make the rules. But the church has stood back and say, well, God, you do whatever you want to do. How many of you know that the devil's in charge down here? Come on now, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, little g. He's the one that's causing the havoc down here. And I'm telling you what, it's a praying church that's holding things together as much as it is together. But we could do a lot more. We could do a lot better as the Church of Jesus Christ. Because we are the legislative assembly. Hallelujah. Your family can be changed drastically by the decisions that you make and what you say out of your mouth by believing and declaring the word of God. Amen? So, let's look at the scripture. He's telling us to get in agreement. And I shared this in the last service. This is the one point I did get in the last service. Verse 19, again I tell you, if two of you on earth agree and harmonize, husband and wives, if you can get an agreement, single people, if you can get somebody else to agree with you, it says of any two. Now you multiply that by a whole church body and think about what can happen. Come on now. If Living Word, everybody in Living Word could get on the same page, no wonder the day of Pentecost was so powerful. Because the Bible says they were in the upper room. They were together, together. They were not just together physically. How many of you know you can be together somewhere and you can be off somewhere in Hawaii? You can, amen. You can be physically sitting there. And I grew up in church. I know what it's like when 12 o'clock comes. Okay? Because we'd go out to eat every Sunday after church. So if the preacher didn't get done at 12 o'clock, I was just sitting in my seat, but I was already over at the smorgasbord. You understand? I was already thinking about all the good food that I was going to get when this preacher would stop preaching. And none of you better be guilty of that, all right? That's why we feed you at omelets between services. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So if we can get together, together, husbands and wife, if you can get together and together, you know, compromise, just come together. If you can agree. And what, amen, let's go back. I want to read that again. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever or anything and everything they may ask, you've got to ask, it will come to pass whatever I ask. If I, amen? If you, two of you can agree, get somebody to agree with you, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's go on to verse 20. For wherever two or three are gathered or drawn together as my followers in or into my name, there am I in the midst of them. Whew, isn't that powerful? Contend. That's what my message is about today. God has given us great and precious promises. Peter said, say yes. Say amen. All the precious promises of God are yes and amen. That means they're available for all of us. God is no respecter of persons. And so no matter what you're going through in life, you have a promise of God. You may have been diagnosed with something. But God has the last word. What does your healer say? What does your healer say? That by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. We have a miracle over here with Neil. So one of these days, he can share everything that they went. It was a fight of faith. Amen? Moment by moment, we were with them through that process. Hallelujah. There was a time where they were going to call hospice in, huh? Though they did call hospice in, and, you know. But whose report are we going to believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I believe God's word. Amen. Let's lift up our hands and praise Him. Father, we just praise You right now. We thank You for dynamics of Your word, God. Your word. And there is a shift coming. There is a shift this season. Hallelujah. That things are changing. Glory to God. Things are season. This is a season of harvest. This is a season if we will just get our expectation out there and begin to fight for, thus saith the Lord, what God has said in His word. Hallelujah. Not let go of it, but hang on to it. Amen. Like one preacher said, if you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on, because your miracle is just about ready to happen. Amen? Your miracle is just about ready to happen. How many people give up at the couple seconds before their miracle? Don't give up. Don't give in. Amen? Fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the blessing and the promises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.